John chapter 12 and verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now when he said, "But Jesus answered them," we almost get the impression that he's not going to see him. He's got other things on his mind now. There's another priority on his mind. Now, in the natural, it might seem like an interesting thing. Well, even the Greeks are coming now and to listen to what Jesus has to say. Things are growing. But that's not the kind of glory Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something else that very few will understand how we can call that glory. But Jesus answered, verse 23, them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, there are two things here. Three, actually. First one is a dying. Now, it's not easy to die. I don't know what you think about it, but I don't think it's easy to die. Now, what he's talking about is not dying. He's not talking about mass suicide. Let's all die. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about dying to self. Dying to self. Now, that is something that you do as an act of your will. I die to myself. I'm not going to live just for myself. It's not about me. Remember when Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, right standing with God." That's the number one thing then, if you died to yourself, not you. When you begin to realize the most important thing in my life is not me. That's dying to self. The most important thing in my life now becomes the kingdom of God. And it's righteousness, right standing with God. That is dying to self. That's what he's talking about. Dying to our own selfish ambitions, our own dreams, and all of that. Because now the first thing that I live for is the kingdom of God. Now somebody says, "Well, you know, what about my career? What about this? What about that?" Well, there is something, you know, you can be an accountant and still put the kingdom first. You can be a mechanic and still put the kingdom first. You can be what you want to be, but put the kingdom first. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying everybody now needs to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary or anything like that. Well, in a sense, we all are. We are all ministers of the gospel. We're not all preachers, but we're all ministers of the gospel. And he says, we're dying. We need to die to ourselves. He says, if we don't die to ourselves, then we remain alone. There's no fruit. Can you imagine that with all the talents in the world, with all the skills, with all the opportunities in the world, and you just accomplish nothing as far as he's concerned? It's about understanding that God has put life in us for his purposes. Somebody says, "I don't like the gospel." Well, I don't think there's greater joy when we do what we are called to do, but we do it for him. And now suddenly life has purpose. You know, we can all work for money, but it's better if we get money to work for us. Because if we work for money, money is a slave master. It's a harsh master to work for. But when we make money our slave, then life becomes a whole lot easier and a much greater blessing. But he's talking about the dying. And he says, if we don't die, if a grain of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and dies, it remains alone. All you have is the grain of wheat. You can do nothing with it. It's useless on its own. But when it dies, it bears fruit. And now, our lives are like seed. If we just live to ourselves, it'll just me and myself and I. And it's just one. But when we die to ourselves, we can bear much fruit. And then increase comes, and growth comes. And then our lives begin to have a great meaning, not just to ourselves, but to those around us and to God. But the key is to die. And now these people came and they wanted to see Jesus, and things look like they're going to take off now. This ministry is growing. Even the Greeks are coming now. And Jesus says, that's not why I came. I came to die. That's why I came. I came to die. Because when I die, many will come. And there's a wonderful verse here in Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. In bringing many sons to glory. Well, you could only do that by dying. Do you know that without, if he didn't die, he couldn't even bring the 12 disciples in, because they could not be born again. They would just remain in their own old natural state, and the wrath of God would be upon them. But because he died, he could bring many sons to glory. And that's the growth. We're looking at the growth here. What we see in front of us, and which is repeated all around the world, these are all the fruit that came because one wheat of grain fell into the ground and died. And the fruit came. And now he says, that is now how we also need to live. Die to ourselves so that we can bring that fruit in to the glory of the Father. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Just do a quick one there. Philippians 1 and verse 21. And the Apostle Paul is writing here. He says, for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. So many people think die is loss. They're scared to die to themselves. They're scared to give it all up. They're scared to think of the kingdom first. And not me. And what I can be and what I can become and what I can make and what can I accomplish and all of that. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Well, he's talking about, said, you know what? I don't care to be around here anymore. I just want to be with him. I just want to be with him. And that's how the Apostle Paul lived. We still feed on the fruit of his labors and his revelation, because he gave it all up. Do you know that he was, the Apostle Paul, was set for a wonderful career as a Pharisee. He had the greatest teacher. He talks about himself also here in the book of Philippians, where he says, I rose above all my colleagues, all my fellow students, and I was a very special person. I came from the right tribe. I have the best education and all of that. And then suddenly I realized that all those things, I counted them as loss. They'd be nothing to me. so that I may gain him. And he died to himself. He died to his ideals. He died to his goals. He died to his own vision, his carnal vision. He died to that and brought fruit that we still enjoy today. What a life that was. And that we can have that kind of life too. Praise God. That inside of us is that life and that ability. Inside of us is that potential to do much if we're willing to die to ourselves. How many of us are willing to die? Well, that was not a trick question. God sees everything, almost everything, so opposite, so contrary to the way we see things. You know, you can almost, what you want to do, if you want to do the will of God, just go and do the opposite. You'll be a lot closer to what God wants you to do. Yeah, it's amazing how the thoughts of God are so different from our thoughts and our thinking. And then we struggle with these things. You know. Not too many people, if we had to put a list out there on the table at the back, and say, here's a list of all the people that want to die, I wonder how many names we'll get by the end. You know, and not talking about Christians that forget so easily, but how many of us would we say, I'm willing to die to myself? And yet, that's the way to life. The very thing, those very things that we desire, those very things that we fight for and work hard for, God wants to give to us if we're willing to die. It's going to get a little more interesting, but let's move on. Let's go back to John. John chapter 12, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain or fruit. Now, the problem that we have when we talk about dying to ourselves is we focus on dying instead of focusing on the fruit. If we put our focus on the fruit and what we can accomplish when Christ becomes our life, then we'll put the focus on the fruit, things will be a lot easier. But we try to bring those fruit with our own efforts and our own sweat, and you know, and we know it's not always going too well. But when Christ lives in us, do you know there's a place there also here in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Solomon, there in the book of Proverbs, says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. It is our connection with him that produces the fruit. It says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. It says, if you're not in the vine, then you cannot bear fruit. And you know, sometimes we don't want to be grafted into the vine. We want to be our own plant. But dying to ourselves is when we're grafted into that vine. And he says, when you grafted into that vine, you'll bear much fruit. Much fruit. And so instead of focusing on dying and giving up things, let's focus on the fruit. Let's focus on the fruit. God will not rob you of your career. God will not rob you of the things that he entrusted you with. He will not. He just wants you to focus on the kingdom. He just wants you to focus on the fruit. And he wants you to realize that wherever you go and whatever you do, there's fruit that God wants to be brought in. All around us, there's fruit that God wants to bring in. And we're talking about souls. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says that those who win souls are wise. God, let me tell you something, and we'll get to that in a minute. God is obsessed with fruit. He just wants all of us to bear fruit, to be fruitful, and not to live our lives selfishly and maybe gain much in the natural and come to the end of it and have nothing to offer to God and realize I never died and therefore I'm alone, I have nothing to offer. What a tragedy that would be. I'm sure none of us will want to go that way. Come to the end of life and realize it's just me. I have nobody. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer God. My whole life I spent just on me, and now I have nothing to offer. What an emptiness that will bring to us when we go. Amen. Now we can talk a lot about the dying part. Sometimes we need to get a little practical because, you know, it comes down to the wire sometimes when we make decisions, whether it's going to be for God or it's going to be for me. And those decisions add up and eventually become our lives. Who did I live for? What did I live for? What do I accomplish? What do I wish to accomplish? And sometimes when we are so enthusiastic about our futures and our careers and so on, it's easy to lose focus. And then just focus on ourselves and how good we can have it while next to us there's fruit that God wants us to bring in. I'm sure God, we have no doubt about it, that God wants to bless our lives with abundance in every area of life. I tell you, God wants us to have good marriages, have good homes, have good kids, and good finances, and good health, and all of that. But what He wants most of all is our life. So that our life can belong to Him. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Something else that Jesus focused on when He was preparing to die was glory. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified, but He's talking about dying. And He says it's to be glorified. How can you glorify death? Especially when you're still alive. And some people get ideas from, you know, God wants to rob us of all the joy of life and all the good things of life. Well, that's the wrong idea. It's just the opposite. It is just the opposite. But there's glory attached to dying while we live. When I read there in John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed His last prayer on the earth, and I come to that place where He says, Father, the glory that You have given me, I have given them. My mind ceases. Age stops. I can't understand this. My mind cannot process that. That the glory that He had, He has given past tense to us. And I say, God, there must be more to life than what we know. And we're so focused on the dying and taking our eyes off ourselves and putting it there on the goals of God and the vision of God, that we don't realize God wants to bring glory to us. And somebody says, no, we're going a little sacrilegious here. No, we need to believe what the Bible says, right? We have to believe what the Bible says about all of this. And if we go here to 2 Corinthians, and there in chapter 3. And He's talking about these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And He first talks about Moses, the day when he brought the law down from the mountain, that because he came from the presence of God, there was, his face was shining with the glory of God. While in his hands he had the law that produced death all the time. death of an animal or death of a person, but death. And there was so much glory on this man that he had to put a veil over his face because the Israelites could not look at him. Now he switches over there in verse 16. He says, nevertheless, let's do 15. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, that is we all, right? That is us all who came into Christ. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What an amazing scripture. But we all, with unveiled face, which means we're not going to cover up like Moses did. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. God's intentions with man. To put his glory upon us. Broken people. Came out of sin and being lost. Cut off from God, the source of life. We come to Jesus, he puts his glory upon us. And he says, we're being transformed into the same image. Can you handle that? And yet, when we die, this is what you get. When you die to yourself, there are some experiences in God that we sometimes are hesitant to even talk about. Jesus didn't come to give us religion. He didn't come to tack on the weekly schedule, go to church on a Sunday morning. That's not why he came. Jesus came to give us the glory that he had with the Father. He is bringing many sons to what? To glory. Now, the glory, some people say, well, that's not for this side of the grave. Oh, you'll be surprised at what God can do. You'll be surprised at what God can do to a life that fully belongs to him. You'll be surprised at what you can experience when the glory of God comes down on a human being. It's glory available. But for us to have that glory, we have to die. You know, there's a glory that we can create ourselves through our own hard work and being smart and all of that. And people look up and they glorify you and recognize you and the accolades and the recognition. And that is man's glory. Jesus said, I'm not looking for the glory of man. He wasn't looking for the glory of man. Why would we be interested in the glory of man if there is the glory of God available to us? Somebody says we're talking too deep things today. Let me tell you something. God has great plans for his people and for his children. And it is much more than the world can ever offer. To any one of us. Dying to ourselves. It says it's not the time now to be talking with all these people and be recognized by them, whatever. It's time to be glorified. He's talking about his death. So that he could bring many sons to glory. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus died a horrible death, as we know. Hebrews chapter 12, and we've read the scripture many times. And verse 1, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See what Jesus did. He did not focus on dying. He focused on the joy of bringing many sons to glory. And because he focused on bringing many sons to glory, he could endure the cross and go through it, horrible as it was. But he was not moved by what he felt. He was not moved by what people said of him and did to him. He was moved by what was lying ahead of him, of bringing many sons to glory. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We learned this lesson. And I believe this year we spend a lot of time on that. But we cannot focus on what is wrong around us. We cannot focus on what is tough on us. We have to focus on what God said. We have to focus on what God wants to do through us and to us and in us. We have to keep our eyes on seeking the kingdom first and right standing with God. And keep our focus right, then we'll go to the right place where God wants us to be. They say, I had a motorbike when I was younger, but somebody told us recently, he said, if you ride a motorbike, you cannot look down because you're going to fall. You have to look to where you're going. Because if you don't, you'll go where you're looking. And that's what we do. We go where our eyes are focused on. And let's focus our eyes not on what we miss because we don't participate in the world and what it has to offer, but we look forward to bearing much fruit to the glory of the Father and standing there before him one day with arms full of fruit that we have to offer. Praise God. We don't have to live an empty life, but we can live a life that is full. Now let's talk about the fruit for a little bit. And we go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now here in verse 2, you have to think about that a little bit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Every branch, even if you bear fruit, God thinks and he says, you can do more than that. I'll prune you. If I prune you, you'll bear more fruit. Every branch that does not bear fruit is taken away. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. I told you, God is obsessed with fruit. He's obsessed with fruit. But we can't get away from this thing. And you know, it's not Peter talking here. It's not Thomas talking here. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking here. Verse 3, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me as, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What a big promise. But there's a condition. And we cannot talk about you can ask what you desire. God will give it to you. No, 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 no. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, which means you're not going to do your own thing. You're going to do what the word says. If you abide in him, which means you have died to yourself, you came to the place where Paul says, Christ lives in me. He says, you'll ask what you desire and will be given to you. Did God ever say no to Jesus, except when he was in that terrible time just before his death in the garden, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And God said no. I was going, why? He had you in mind and me. God said no. You're about to die because we need to bring many sons to glory. Praise God. But every other thing that Jesus was challenged with, he met with success. Whether it was a sickness, whether it was a hungry crowd, whether it was death, whether it was hard questions by the Pharisees and the scribes, every single time he met those challenges with success because he heard it from the Father. Jesus said that, eh? Well, let's read on. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. How is the Father glorified? When we bear much fruit. That's how we glorify him. Well, we sing, and it's wonderful to sing, you know, we glorify you and all of that. But that's not really how he's glorified. He is glorified when we bear much fruit. That's how we glorify him. When we bear much fruit. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, for me to die is gain. He found the secret. He found the answer to prayer. He found if I die to myself and I live for him and Christ lives in me, I don't live anymore, Christ lives in me, I enter into a world where all things are possible. That's gain. I don't have to fight for everything because the grace of God is enough for me. I can do, I can bear this thing. I can go through this. God will supply in all my needs. How? Through the glory. His riches in glory. When we die to ourselves, we can bear much fruit. Do we have more candidates now? It's growing a little bit. We'll get there. We'll get there. Romans 12 and verse 6. Romans 12 and verse 6. Well, let's do 3. Let's begin at 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So each one of you, everybody here, has a measure of faith. Do you know that God gave you some faith? Without faith, you cannot receive salvation, because it is by grace through faith. So you got faith. Everybody has faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay, let's just stop there for a moment. Having then gifts differing. Do you know that you have a gift? God put a gift inside of you. Everybody here has a gift. Nobody came empty. Nobody. Everybody has a gift that God put inside of you. And now he says, let's use it. Now we begin to think about bearing fruit. Let's use that gift. And don't think you're going to stand there before God one and say, well, I could never find that gift. Well, you didn't look for it. Because he who seek will find. If you seek, you'll find. Everybody has a gift. Let's use the gifts that we have in our seeking first the kingdom. And boy, he mentioned some gifts here, but there's a lot more than what's mentioned here. Things that God put inside of you, inside of his people, that he wants you to use in bearing fruit. Okay. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You need faith to prophesy. You cannot just stand up there and talk. You need faith, because God's not going to give you the whole prophecy in one download. He's going to give you the start. And if you don't begin to speak that out in faith, then you'll just die there. But when you begin to speak in faith, then God will supply the rest. You need faith for that. Verse 7, or ministry. Ministry means serving. That can include a lot of things. Serving. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. So we need to use that gift to serve in whatever capacity that might be. You need to use that gift. God didn't put it there for you to look good. He put it there for service. He would teach us in teaching. God put a teaching gift in you. You better get going with it. Do something with it. Do something with it. Let me tell you, you will be surprised. You will be surprised. If you begin to do what God put inside of you, you will be surprised. I'm telling you. You know the story of how we started WordWise. When the time when I felt I could teach, but I never taught anybody. But I started doing with what I had. And now it's gone around the globe. You have no idea what God can do if you are willing to put to use what God put inside of you. Even if it's hidden, even if it's small, even if only you're the only one that knows about it. Don't wait till somebody else comes and says, well, I think you have this gift or that gift. Use some faith that God gave you. And bring it out. And then that one small little gift, when you offer it to God in service to him, it will be like that grain that will bear much fruit. It will continue to grow. He who exhorts in exhortation. If God equipped you to exhort people, to encourage people, boy, do we need that gift in the world today. You can change people's lives by just being an exhorter. Exhort them, encourage them. You don't put people under pressure to go to church and a guilt trip. You encourage them, exhort them. Exhort them, encourage them to serve the Lord. Encourage them to accept Jesus as their Savior. He who gives with liberality, isn't that interesting? That God equipped some people to give. And just like every other gift, you have got to do it by faith. Because he gave you a measure of faith. And you need to use that measure of faith to give with liberality. Become a giver into the kingdom and become somebody who gives. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so here we have the beginnings of how we can bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Everybody has something. Everybody has something. Do you know that in that parable where Jesus spoke about the talents, and he gave 10 to the one and 5 to the other one, and to the one person he only gave one. But even if he had only one, if he did something with it, it could grow. But this guy buried it. What happened to him? It got taken away from him and was given to the one who had 10. I think it's T.D. Jakes that says, God is not fair, but he's just. Some people say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's not fair. He's got 11 now, I got nothing. God's obsessed with fruit. And if you work hard and you grow your talent that he gave you, he's going to add to it. But if you don't use it, he'll take it away from you. And then you stand before him one day with nothing to offer, an empty life. Just an empty life. Now, there's no glory in that. There's no glory in an empty life. Just one more quick one, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship. That always blesses me. I'm his workmanship. God just made me the way he wanted me to be. Now you can struggle with that and you may have issues with that. You can make the best of that. Because God did not make mistakes. God did not make any mistakes. You are made exactly the way he wanted you to be. And there's enough inside of you to glorify him with. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's purpose. When we say we are his workmanship, that's inheritance, our heritage rather. That's our heritage. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is purpose. Which God prepared beforehand, before we were born, that we should walk in them. Beforehand. God first saw the need, then he made somebody to fill the need. And you're at the right place at the right time to do what God made you to do. Praise God. Nobody is here by mistake. You are here with purpose. You are here to do something for God. What a tragedy if we just come to live and for ourselves and die empty. What a tragedy is that? And come to the end of your lives and find out, I've got nothing to offer. Eternity is long. And I just spent a few years here on earth and I had a good time, but now eternity is ahead of me and I have nothing to offer. What a tragedy that is. And that's why the Word of God speaking to us. Now I want to go back to John, and I just want to touch on something very powerful. John chapter 12. And that is the principle. The principle. We haven't spoken about that principle for a long time. The principle there is in verse 25, John chapter 12. He who loves his life will lose it. Now, that's not Pastor Johan telling you that, all right? He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The principle. I always call it the number one principle. This is such a powerful principle. It goes like this. What you're willing to lose, you gain. What you're not willing to give up, you lose. Now, and I have seen that principle. It is also with our giving. When you give, you know God's going to give back to you. That's how we grow. That's how we grow things. We know that when we give finances, God will give back to us so that we can give again. And that's how we grow. Paul says he wants to grow your account in Philippians chapter 4. But you have to give first. He's not going to grow your account first and then you give out of that. No, you're going to give first in faith. What you want to gain is what you lose. And what you're willing to lose, you gain. That's the principle. I told you, God always thinks exactly opposite from our way of thinking. You know, when Jesus speaks there in Luke chapter 6, I think it is, where he says, give and you will receive. That's that principle. That is that principle. When you give, you lose things, right? You lose it. He says, but you will receive. What you're willing to give, what you're willing to lose, that's what you gain. And that goes not only for money, it goes for every other thing. It is such a powerful principle that God used it himself. He sent his son to die. But when he died and he lost him, he gained him back with many sons of glory. Principle. It's that principle that will help us to die to ourselves so that we can truly live. If we focus just on our life on earth, we lose it, Jesus said. But if you give it up, if you die to yourself, it says there in the last verse, there, verse 26 of this passage, if anyone serves me, which means you're not serving yourself, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Be honored by God. Yeah, we need to crucify the flesh, he's talking about. Crucify carnal things, carnal ideas, carnal desires. Crucify those things to truly live. If we die with him, Paul says, we will also live with him. But life begins at death to self. And that's the core of the Christian life. This thing that's come into the church that we see everywhere, you stand with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and now we call that a balanced life. That is a life that is taken away from you. There's no such thing. If you want to be balanced, you stand with both feet in the kingdom. And seek the kingdom first and its righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. But life begins at death to self. And death is not loss. Death to self is not loss, it's gain. It's growth. It's blessing. It's not something to grieve over, it's something to rejoice in. Jesus said, it's time to be glorified. And I invite you to die to yourself so that we can truly live to his glory. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Let's glorify him with the fruit that we bear to his glory. Oh, I tell you what, when we grafted in him, the power to bear fruit is there. To overcome impossibilities is there. To meet every challenge is there, because the power flows from him through us. And we can bear fruit in the most difficult circumstances, in the most dire economy. We can blossom, because the life comes from him and not from us. Praise God. That's the core of the Christian life. You die to yourself. It's hard to die these days. When I was a child, we had open-air services. And we were persecuted and mocked and all of that. We were dying there, let me tell you that. Our friends stood there. They knew who we were. We were in the church. We were with this bunch of people. And people came and gave their testimonies, and somebody preached, and always there was an invitation. People got saved there. And when they raised their hands and prayed the sinner prayer, the next thing they did was to come up and testify in front of their friends, I receive Jesus now. That's death, but that's life. That's the beginning of a brand new life. It brings a boldness. It brings a boldness that we don't know anymore. Let me tell you something. You can face the greatest mocker and still stand up for what you believe in, because you face them there. You die to yourself. And then you have the ability to live in the face of every adversity. Praise God. Amen. Let's all stand. Bless you, Lord.